Deborah, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. Now, an announcement from the International Papillomavirus Society has indicated that Australia is set to become the first country to eradicate cervical cancer from within its borders. First off, would you mind sort of taking us through how we've actually achieved this?
Look, well, first of all, it's really exciting news, isn't it, to think about that in the future.
Absolutely.
But look, it's two big reasons, I have to say. So really, Australia has been at the forefront of the vaccination program. So in fact, Professor Ian Fraser from Queensland helped develop the HPV vaccine. And we've been really, you know, leading the world with putting that vaccination program in our schools. So all our 12, 13-year-old girls have been vaccinated since 2007. And then we added boys into the mix in 2013. So I think that's one of the key points. And then the next key point is that we've got a fantastic national cervical screening program. And we've just actually implemented a whole new program based on HPV testing. So we've got these two approaches, which mean that we really are going to be able to think about eradicating this disease in Australia in the future.
To me, it sounds like such a short time frame. As you mentioned there, this HPV vaccine only came into, schools into this program in 2007, and yet, 11 years later, we're seeing the possibility of complete eradication of cervical cancer from within our borders. So given you mentioned there, obviously the 12, 13-year-old girls have been vaccinated since 2007, looking at the case for other women, how easily accessible has the vaccination actually been?
Look, so what we know, I mean, the best time, in fact, really the main time to vaccinate is before a young person becomes sexually active. That's when it's going to work effectively. So we don't have good evidence around vaccinating at later ages, although there can be a catch-up program up to 19 years of age. So that's the key thing. But we do know that around about, it's between 70-75% of those school-aged children do get vaccinated, but that still does leave that bit of that gap. And so we really need to ensure the parents, grandparents, all encourage that vaccination of those young people. So we've still, there are still some gaps. We've obviously got to think about young people who are coming in from other countries. We need to make sure that they can catch up. But it's about getting that vaccination at that young age.
Absolutely. As you say, this is incredibly exciting news. As we said, this is sort of combined along with the regular screenings. Now, the numbers I've got in front of me here, currently only 50 to 60% of Australian women participate in regular screenings testing for cervical cancer. Is that number problematic in its own? I mean, given that we are having this terrific achievement and yet only 50 to 60% of Australian women are attending these kind of screenings, is that a problem? Do we need to be aiming for 100% or are the rates still going to be going down all the same?
Look, I think it's a really important point. So obviously at the moment we've got older women who will have missed out on the school-based vaccine program, and it's terribly important that these women come in and have this routine or regular screening. And we've changed the screening program. So it's very, changed in December of last year. So now we're starting screening at the age of 25. You only have to come every 5 years, so not every 2 years anymore, because we're using the more sensitive HPV test. Now, for most women, it's going to be the same procedure of having a speculum examination. And there's often a lot of fear and anxiety around this. But when I explain it to people, the women are very happy to go along with it. But we have got, for women who have never been screened, who wouldn't come into the program otherwise, and the variety of reasons for that, we are offering now a self-collected test. It's got some limitations compared to the other tests, but it's still very reliable. But we're really now tackling those, how can we get those women in who haven't ever been screened before? It's incredibly important, as you say, to encourage these women in, but through programs like this.
And I did want to touch on something you mentioned briefly before. In 2013, we extended this vaccination program to boys as well. The free HPV vaccination extended out to boys. Why was that important? I mean, when we look at the human papillomavirus, we know that it doesn't really show symptoms on its own, but it can lead to these very serious issues like cervical cancer. So vaccinating boys as well, why was that an important step?
Look, a really important step, and again, we've led the world with this, because you're absolutely right, HPV infection is incredibly common. Sometimes I sort of call it like the common cold, in that it doesn't have symptoms, it's easily passed by sexual activity. And so adding in boys into the mix, there's two reasons. First of all, it's to protect boys against those HPV-related cancers, so that can occur. But the other reason is to actually, it's what we call herd immunity. So the more we vaccinate in the community, the more that protection is also going to extend to all the other people in the community, including those who haven't been vaccinated, but including girls. So it builds up that whole of community immunity, and that's what's going to help us eradicate cervical cancer in the future.
And talking about eradicating it on a global scale, obviously the news in Australia is absolutely tremendous. Australia is a world leader in this particular department. But the number of cervical cancer diagnoses, it still remains pretty high in certain parts of the world, certainly the developing world. What tools need to be put in place to reduce or eradicate cervical cancer globally?
Yeah, so this is incredibly important. So even on our doorstep, we often go for holidays to places like Vanuatu, for instance. So these Pacific countries, Papua New Guinea, they have very, very high rates of cervical cancer, very high rates of death through cervical cancer. So what we need to be able to do in these low-income countries is be able to support them with vaccine programs. We need to get governments, we need to get whole of communities on board to help provide free or cheap access to these vaccines, because that's going to be the most important factor. But then we also need to think about how we can do sort of low-resource setting screening as well. So, the previous Pap smear program was very expensive, very labour-intensive, often just not feasible at all. But now we've got new tools at our disposal. We've got rapid sort of on-site HPV tests. So again, it'll be a combination of looking, what we can do through technology, but again, it's the vaccine that's going to be the key in these countries where it's such a killer of women.
Absolutely tremendous, Deborah. Deborah, thank you. I really appreciate you joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.